Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And also Dr. Ray Pritchard is co-hosting with us from Dallas TX. Ray co-hosts most Tuesdays and Thursdays. Be in prayer for Ray and his wife Marlene. They're off on a trip to the Ukraine coming up, and he's going to be teaching the Bible there to our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine, which is, if you don't know, is an Eastern European country that borders Russia. So I guess most people, you said it's a former Soviet Union.
Right. And, you know, they on the east side of Ukraine, the part that's hard up against Russia, they speak mostly Russian in the east and then mostly Ukrainian in the west.
Oh, there's a Ukrainian language?
Yes, and it's similar because Russian and Ukrainian are both Slavic languages.
Right.
And they say if you know Ukrainian, you can understand a lot of Russian. If
right.
you know Russian, you can understand a lot of Ukrainian. So,
yeah. Okay. I wanted to also mention a couple of things. We've got two new radio stations that have just gone on the air in the last week, one just yesterday. And I wanted to make folks aware of this in case they have friends or family that live in these areas. Walker, where are these two new stations?
Well, we have one new station in Montgomery, Alabama. That's Montgomery, Alabama. And you may go ahead and give the station dial.
Yeah, where it is on the dial. Now, this is about a 20-mile. It's not a big, powerful station. It basically covers a 20-mile radius of Montgomery. But where is it on the dial?
On the dial in Montgomery, Alabama, we are on 92.7. And we also have a station in Lexington, Kentucky now. We're on the air in Lexington, Kentucky.
In the last 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, our engineers cut the station on yesterday, and that is 96.5 in Lexington, Kentucky.
And again, that goes about 20 to 25 miles radius of Lexington, Kentucky. Of course, home of the University of Kentucky. And so if you have friends or family who live in Montgomery, or the surrounding area, you can tell them that we're on the air, American Family Radio at 92.7. And then in Lexington, Kentucky, we've just turned on that station the last 24 hours, and that's on the dial.
At 96.5.
Yeah, and we know it's not a dial. You don't have to email us and tell you, Tim, it's not a dial. I know it's not a dial, but it's a...
we still call it that.
Yeah, you call
that's
it
right.
that. For lack of... I don't know what it would be called. What is
it
called?
If you said it on the spectrum, that doesn't sound right.
No,
you know. So
everybody, it's like people still say, "Hang up the phone."
That's right. Mm-hmm. And nobody does that.
Nobody
anymore.
Does it. But we still say, "Hang up the phone." You say, "Hang up the phone," don't you, Walker?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and Walker didn't even hardly remember phones.
Which used to be on the wall with the cord, right?
Right.
You even hang it up.
That's a long time ago.
Walker and his wife Lexi, they rented a home for a year, and this home was probably 60, 70 years old, right?
Right.
And it had one in the hallway. It had what did it have?
Yeah, it had like a little shelf where you see something used to sit, and I found out it was a phone. The phone used to sit in the hallway, and so that way the cord could go to each bedroom. And
sure.
then to the bathroom, and then a little ways into the living room.
But it has no purpose now. You look at
right.
it, for younger people to walk in an old home like that and see this place in the wall where the phone used to sit, and you're just is a cell phone world. You're going, what's
this?
Is this for a potted plant? What is this for?
Yeah.
That's right. Well, it's like going to a city and saying, where's the nearest payphone? Nobody can find one, right?
No, you can't anymore.
Yeah.
There are no payphones.
Mm-hmm. Right, they're just gone.
The phone booths.
Right, they're just gone.
Well, the other day, I got
what
a phone.
What does Superman do now? I don't know.
We got a phone book at our house, and Allison, my wife, goes, what are we supposed to do with this?
That's right.
because nobody uses phone books.
You can just search it up on the internet.
I guess some people still use, right. Some use people still
that
use.
That was a big business, the Yellow Pages,
yeah.
And advertising, mm-hmm. and the Yellow Pages and all of that. And but nobody does that anymore.
No, nobody does.
I mean, we don't even keep phone books, right? Because mm-hmm. you just, if you want something, you just pick up your cell phone,
right.
write somebody's number and type it in there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. People just don't use phone books like they do anymore because, as you say, you just type, Google it. Within 30 seconds, you've got the phone number to the restaurant.
The oldest thing I remember in my lifetime is the cell phones in the car, in the van, in your van.
Oh, you do remember that when they yeah. were stationary inside the van?
Yes, and right. that was pretty high tech.
With the cords?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And the long antenna that was stuck out the end of it.
Yeah, that was when cell phones were first getting started, or mobile phones. I don't know if what the car phones. I forgot what we referred to them as, but I know exactly.
Wasn't a bag phone, was it?
No. There were bag phones, but I'm talking about we had
that used to be a luxury item. You know, if you had a phone in your car, mm-hmm. man, that was
yeah.
That you had a lot of money because that was a real that was exotic.
I remember too one time. I was at a Little League game, and Allison, we were watching my wife. We were watching one of our sons play ball, and this is 20 years ago or so. And one of our friends comes up and goes, one of the other mothers comes up and goes, "Yeah, I got my cell phone bill, and man, I used my cell phone for 300 minutes, and I got a 300 minute limit." And she walked away, and I told Allison, I said, "Who on earth talks on a cell phone for 300 minutes in a month?"
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
And now, that's probably
that's all we do.
That's all you do.
We're on the phone. That's right.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that somebody could talk on the cell phone 300 minutes a month. But now, you know, that's 300 minutes a week probably for most people mm-hmm. on their cell phones. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Okay, Steve Jordahl
Morning.
Has been patiently waiting, just playing on his cell phone over here.
No, I have an app on my cell phone. I was going to ask Walker something. Walker, have you ever used a rotary dial phone?
No, yeah. Is that the spinning thing? No. I've seen them, and I like the way they sound when they spin
the
around.
Spinning thing.
I have an app on my phone that I cannot open. It's a rotary dial app that on my cell phone. If it was downloaded, I think it's.
Or if it were to ring, it would sound like an old fashioned.
No, where you can dial a number with the rotary.
I'm sorry.
On your cell phone,
put a picture of the rotary dial on your cell phone, and then you dial it, and it could. You know,
you hear the click, 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 click.
For those
click,
who want to take click, a trip down memory lane.
That's right.
That's right.
I have no idea why I have it. It doesn't work.
What I have stuck in my head is the dial-up internet sound. That yes. awful sound.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember the rotary dial phones.
Do what now?
I remember the rotary dial phones, mm-hmm. yeah, and trying
Ray,
to dial
Ray
my
does
friends.
Too. I do, too. Remember yeah. I have the last of the party lines were going out when I was a child.
Oh my.
I was born in 63. I just remember going to my grandparents' house. You know, I was 6, 7, 8 years old, so this would have been late 60s, early 70s. Ray and I remember, you know, I think my grandmother was like the number 6 on the line or something. Something. You
right.
could pick up the phone, though.
And get an
operator.
A lot
of people listening to me, 50 and older, remember this. Yeah, and you could hear other people talking on the phone. I guess you eavesdrop too.
My folks were missionaries in Africa when I was growing up in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, and our telephone number over there was 21603.
That was it?
That's it.
this
zip code.
This segment's become Throwback Thursday.
It has been, huh?
Oh, man, the good old days when we didn't have technology. All right, Steve, what's in the news, my friend?
Well, we're going to let's do a Throwback Thursday to about 4 weeks ago, the election.
All right.
Top of the page at onenewsnow.com. I had a conversation yesterday with pollster George Barna, who told me some interesting things about what he terms SageCons. These are conservatives that are politically engaged evangelicals, as he qualifies them, not just that they say they're evangelical, but they have to hold a certain tenets of the Bible, and they have to go to church so often. And
so these are the people he's surveying?
These are the people he's surveyed, and he's qualified them, as opposed to most polls just say, are you evangelical? Someone will say yes. These are actual evangelicals, and these are actually evangelicals that are politically engaged. In other words,
that's describing a high percentage of our listeners, right?
It is a high percentage of our listeners, and these are the people that came out for Donald Trump big. And Donald Trump. So
George Barna is doing this survey post-election to ask them to delve further into the thinking of
Well, what he did is he compared, it's like an exit poll showing how lopsided these conservatives were in their comparison between Trump and Clinton. What he reported on, like 95% of these evangelicals said Trump would do a better job at creating new non-government jobs. 94% said he was more likely to keep America safe and militarily strong. And there's like about six or seven items where they scored Trump in the high 80s or 90s as opposed to Clinton in the single digits. One of the things that I took off on, though, and I thought was interesting, is that in anticipation of the long road to America's emotional recovery after a brutal campaign, 63% of what he calls sage cons, these conservatives, believes that Mr. Trump was the competitor most likely to unite and heal the country. As we all know, there's an awful lot of stuff going on in this country that could use uniting. And I asked him about that. I said, well, how does that happen? And he said, well, two things. Mr. Trump probably would do well to put people into leadership roles that are not part of the establishment. And he has started to do that, certainly with his cabinet picks and such. But he said the church has a role to play in the healing of the country. And it brought to mind the verse in the New Testament that says that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. As Christians, we are to reconcile people to God, but one with another as well. And if we are a country that is divided, certainly I think the church might have a role in helping bring people back together. And
We can do our part. I don't know. Not discounting what you're saying or what George Barna is saying there. In the world we live in today, I'm talking about in America, culturally and politically, modern day America, it's not like your grandfather's America, where people had a shared value system, for the most part, the Christian value system, and then from there they could disagree on, you know, what's the best way to fill a pothole, or what's the best way to fight a war, or what's the best way to regulate, government. For example, you could disagree. Today it's different. Today I don't know if you can reconcile. Because you have people, a lot of America is divided by people who love God and the people who hate God.
Right.
I call them God haters. Now, most of them would not say they're a God hater. They'd say, I don't even believe in God. But what I'm saying is they revile the Word of God, the Bible. They revile us as people who follow the Lord and people who believe in American exceptionalism, for example. I'll give you a prime example. Two quotes from two of the most liberal leaders of our time. Barack Obama, who I don't consider a man who, if he doesn't exhibit to me a hateful personality, I haven't seen that in him.
Right.
But his ideology is one of disdain for Christianity. Here's what he said. He said, talking about Americans, he said there are a lot of Americans out there who cling to their guns and their religion.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do.
That's a put down of conservative Christians in particular. And so it's saying, you know, these people don't think, they're not intellectual, they're backwards, they're left in the past. Okay, then you move that up to a couple of months ago. If it was that long, you have Hillary Clinton, the Democrat presidential candidate. She says openly, "Hey, these people are a basket of deplorables who are unredeemable."
Right.
Okay. She's talking about Christians, particularly conservative Christians, you talk about name calling. They talk about Trump name calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She calls us a basket of deplorables that are unredeemable. Again, that fits into the narrative that the secular progressives want to promote, and that is that we can't hold the beliefs, Ray, that we have and be considered a legitimate human being or citizen of America. We need to be put in our place.
You know, if you try to, I'm listening to what Steve said and what you said, trying to put these two things together. Tim, you showed us what the problem really is, that Time magazine yesterday names Trump as the man of the year. He's the president of, quote, the divided states of America. They put that on the front cover.
Right.
A clear dig at Mr. Trump. I mean, it's an odd way to do it. So I guess, I mean, Tim, I agree with your analysis. So, Steve.
Yes, sir.
I think the division in our nation is there. It's going to get worse.
It might. I'm reminded of the story of the Apostle Paul. If you had to cast someone from today's culture, political culture perhaps, or whatever, as the Apostle Paul in a movie, who would it be? Someone who's persecuting the church, maybe somebody the ACLU that leads the ACLU, maybe one of the politicians like Hillary Clinton or Nancy Pelosi, although certainly we're not facing the death that Paul was bringing to the Jews. But there would be somebody that comes to your mind if you said, who's the Apostle Paul, Saul of today?
Saul or Paul?
Saul. Before his conversion. He was a convert unredeemable.
A convert. A pre-conversion.
There was a division, and God has called us to reconcile the world to Himself, and we might not see the path between us and them, and certainly, here's the problem. Here's the hope I see actually, and it's a problem for the people that we're listing with this world, with the worldview that you're talking about, Tim, is that that worldview doesn't really work. It falls apart when you face evil like ISIS. The only worldview that really hangs together is the worldview that's presented in the Bible, mm-hmm. through thick and thin, through good and evil. And it might not be a political reconciling, but a spiritual reconciling of this country. It might happen, it might not. That's up to God and the way he is willing to put his spirit into the world. But I just keep remembering the Apostle Paul, who was like Hillary Clinton out there saying, these Jews are a basket of deplorables, we've got to kill them. Mm-hmm. And yet the Holy Spirit was able to grab a hold of him and turn him around to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And no one is within the reach of God to redeem and
no
change.
One is outside that reach.
I agree
reach.
With that.
So the church, Barna is saying, has a job in helping reconcile this world. And he's very clear when he talked to me. I said, I made sure I asked him this question. When we talk about approaching some of these people who are pro-abortion, pro-sexual immorality, and all these things, the temptation is to think that if we're going to build a bridge to these people, that we have to soften the tone. And he said, no, God teaches some hard truths. They are truth. We don't water down the gospel at all, or it's not the gospel. But the gospel is the gospel of salvation for those people as well. So the church, I think, does have a role in redeeming this nation. How far that will go before the end, if we're in the last days and we're seeing the wheat and the tares being separated, I don't know. I wouldn't. Maybe Ray, you can speak into that better than I. But God doesn't matter, because God has still called the church to reconcile.
It doesn't matter, and the separation isn't done by us; it's done by God anyway. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
I think the challenge. They're sort of the national issues we are all concerned about that's what this ministry is all about. But there's also the personal basis, right? There's the neighbor down the street. There's the fella in the office down the hall. There's somebody you work with or a student in your class. Yeah. And they don't see the world the same way you do. In fact, their lifestyle choices may be quite different. The question is, are you going to – maybe they're wounded by the side of the road and don't even realize what they're doing to themselves. The question is, like in the parable, are you going to walk by on the other side, or are you going to take a chance to get involved and at least try to become friends with somebody who's not very much like you. I think, Steve, we can all do that, right? I would assert so,
and George Barna seemed to think that as well, saying that there is a vacuum that's created in this culture by the worldview that says that the worldview that we're seeing prominent in the culture, that there's no room for God, that there's no truth. You know, you can only go so far down that road before your worldview starts to fall apart. And when somebody reaches a point of crisis in their life, they have a medical issue that they don't know how to resolve, or their relationships are falling apart, or maybe they're just depressed about the world in general. A worldview without a God offers absolutely no hope. So when we come to them and say, "Hey, we have a solution." And you might not like it on the front, at the outset, because it might come in conflict with some of your presuppositions, but it will answer the question you have about how do I cope with this illness, this divorce, this whatever it is in your life.
And let me add, Steve, one thing to what you said. When that moment of crisis comes, and it will come, right?
Yep.
It comes for everybody who lives without the Lord. The crisis comes. If we have not befriended them before that moment, they probably won't think about us in that moment because they don't really know us. And I think that makes the case for at least reaching out beyond our circle of close friends and people who think just like us, right? But to at least begin to befriend folks so when that moment comes, they already know we love them, they already know we care, and they won't be scared to call us, and maybe they'll listen to what we have to say.
Steve Jordahl in with us from OneNewsNow.com and AFR News. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Ray Walker.
And thank you, Ray. I wanted to wish you well and ask our listeners to pray for you on your trip. You're leaving again when?
Well, in about 26 hours, heading out for Kiev, Ukraine, over there. By way of Amsterdam, over there teaching.
Is it going to be jacket weather?
It's going to be down into the low teens. It'll be, starting Monday, we'll be below freezing all week long. Be like being back in Chicago for me.
Yeah, you spent two decades in Chicago, didn't
That's
you?
Right.
So
That's
you
right.
Do, so you do know what it's called.
We're digging out all those clothes today, throwing Amen. All the warm stuff.
Hey, folks, let me just close the program by telling you we're about to close out our Holy Land tour. We don't have many seats left here. And if you'd like to go with us, it's in March. We're going March 9 through 17. And if you want to go to Israel, it's a great time of the year to go. It's before it really gets hot over there. And it's a very pleasant time to go to Israel. We'll be seeing all the places you've read about in the Bible, Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, Mount of Olives, Garden Tomb, Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River. We'll have a baptismal experience there. And so just so much to see in the land of the Bible. We're going in March. So, again, I just wanted to say we're about to close the books, if you will, on this trip. And if you want to go, we've got a handful of seats left on this trip. You can find out more information by going to twholyland.com on the internet. TWHolyLand.com on the internet is the website where all the information is available. TWHolyLand.com. All right, Ray, take care.
Thank you.
All right. Walker, thanks for. You got everything we talked about that people can find on the internet,
yep.
On our Facebook page?
Everything's on the Today's Issues Facebook page, all the stories. And you can also visit AFR.net. That's AFR.net and listen to all shows.
Okay, so our Today's Issues Facebook page, we have the information we've talked about on this show today. We have it all there for you. Now, we hope you have a wonderful Thursday. It is Thursday, isn't it?
It is Thursday. Trivia Friday tomorrow.
Trivia Friday tomorrow. So Learning University will be in session 24 hours from now. We'll see you back here then.